You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. One of my prayers, probably 6 years ago, to the Lord was, God, I'm praying for more YWAMers to be part of this church. And I began praying and hoping that God would bring these, passionate missionaries into our church. And I thank God so much, because I look today and I see Marianne and I see Elsa and Harpus, and I see so many YWAMers in this church, and it brings such a joy to me to know that there is a place for YWAMers to come to worship. If you know missionaries, they're working and they're serving 24/7, doing gospel work. And on a Sunday morning, probably they don't want to come to worship God. They want to rest. But for them to come here and worship Jesus with us and be part of our family, and I call them Sun Lifers and not YWAMers. So if I ever call you a YWAMer, my sincere apologies. You are a Sun Lifer. I thank God so much for placing you in this church here. It brings such energy and life. Keep coming. Keep inviting people. This is your home away from home. My name is Bin, and I'm the pastor of Sun Life Church. I want to just plug two things before I bring the Word of God to you. The first thing is this, is you've got one of these, which is our grand opening building dedication flyer. It's actually not for you. It's for you to give to someone. Because you're here, you know about it. It's going to take place in 2 weeks' time. On the 4th of November, we've got family and friends, special guests from the city of Perth, to be here to help us dedicate and open this wonderful building to our community. I would love for you to be there. I would love for you to invite your family and friends to come and rejoice and thank God for His goodness upon this church here. So please grab one of these flyers, pray for someone that you want to invite and hand it to them and say, hey, come along. I'll save you a seat. I want you to come and sit with me. That's one. Number two is this. If you are a bloke here, if you are a bloke at Sun Life Church, I want to remind you that on Friday, we've got Peter Lyndon James. Now, for those who do not know Peter, Peter has had this wonderful life transformation which took place some 20 years ago. He was a bikie into drugs and underworld crime, and God really took his life and changed it, and now he is preaching the gospel. He runs the Shalom House, where I don't know the exact numbers, but I think a couple hundred fellas who are struggling with drug addiction are in his program, and there is such a high success rate. I think his program is the strictest program in the country. So he's going to be here next Friday. It's from 6 p.m. Fellas, this is your chance to come straight from work, come here for a great meal. It's only $15. So what I want you to do is this. I think I've got a number on the screen. All I want you to do is, if you are going, because right now we need to know for catering purposes, if you are a fella and you're hearing my voice and you know you have to go, then that's the number that I want you to text. And all you have to text is just yes and your name. Plus one if you're going to invite someone. We're hoping for at least 50 fellas to come here for a great night of fellowship and hear Peter's wonderful testimony. And I will guarantee you, you'll be so encouraged when you leave the place. It is straight after work. Come here. We've ordered a lot of meat and more meat and more meat. All right? We're going to have a great time. There's activities. There are team bonding activities. And then Peter will share his story. We're going to worship together, pray together. You've got to text your name and just the word yes. Yes, I'm going. And then we can work out. And I think we're receiving already live right now. We're receiving. That's good. If God is speaking to you, just enter the number. I sound like I'm on telethon. 0488-030-171. We want your money now. No, we don't. We just want you to click yes. Please do that. God bless. Okay. You know, we started our Roman series at the start of the year. And we started back in February. And this morning is the last sermon from the book of Romans. It's very mixed feelings, right? It's like, oh wow, we spent the whole year studying Romans and we're going to conclude. And I remember calling around some of my past. We had some great pastor friends help me unpack Romans with you. We've had in-house speakers as well. I've called my brothers from Trinity Theological College, of which none of them really had the time because they were quite busy, but I'm going to keep calling them. I know that the principal of Trinity College is right here. I just want to plug that wonderful college. But it's so good studying the Word of God together. Amen? Amen. And this morning here, I want to look with us this last chapter. And as I've been studying this last chapter, God has been speaking to me so clearly. And it's like a blueprint for our church. It's like, God, you're speaking to me for this church. And I'm so excited with what God has to say later on. So we're looking at Romans 16. It's the last chapter. And Paul is finally finishing off his letter to the Christians in Rome. And I believe there are three things that Paul is going to discuss. He talks about the people of God, the people whom God sent his son to die for, God's people. And then he moves into the power of God, the power of God to do God's work here. And finally, the plan of God, God's sovereign plan. And as I begin to study chapter 16, I believe there are the three things that God wants me to share to you to remind us who are the people of God. The power of God in us and through us. And finally, the plan of God. Not only for history, but for you and I who call this church home. That's where we're going this morning. I'm going to pray and we'll get straight to the text. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would use me to speak to your people. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts to receive your word, that we would hear from you, that we would leave this place encouraged with what you're doing in us and through us. Would you help me? Would you strengthen me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I look down and I see so many new faces. It really encourages me. People from over east, people that I've never met before. I want to say welcome. I want to say that it's such an honor that you would set time aside to come here to worship Jesus with us. We have this welcome lounge, little small welcome lounge out in the foyer. If you feel comfortable, we would love for you to go there and grab a seat, and we would love to serve you and get to know you. If there's anything that we can do for you, please let us know. But welcome and thank you so much for coming here. This is your first time. Thank you for taking time to get to know us, and we hope that it's a journey that we can have with you for many seasons to come. God's people. You notice in the text, if you have your Bible with you, in Romans chapter 16 verse 1, Paul begins to start off by saying, I want you to commend my sister Phoebe. She's coming to you. She's a sister in the Lord. She has served me. She has helped me. She's helped a lot of people. Most likely Phoebe is the person who is bringing the letter to the Christians in Rome. Paul says she's a great woman. She's doing a great job. I want you to welcome her. And then from verses 3 to 16, he begins to greet 26 individuals in the church at Rome. He begins to greet them. Priscilla is there. Aquila, I think he's into shoes. That's a joke, by the way. Andronicus, Amphiatus, Urbanus. I think he's an engineer into roads. That's another joke. But what you notice here is that Paul begins to greet 26 individuals in that church, and he knows them personally, and he knows them by name. It's not like this, and I greet that guy, that fella that sits at Sun Life Church somewhere in the middle, yeah, you, greetings to you. It wasn't like that. To that lady who always says amen to the pastor when he preached, yeah, that lady, yeah, greetings to you in that church in Perth. Or that couple that always comes late, yeah, that couple, you know who you are, leave 15 minutes earlier next week, hint, hint, greetings to you. It wasn't like that. Paul knew them by name. He knew them by name. And what we notice here is that as we look through this list of 26 people, it is a very diverse list. People from different race, different ranks, different gender. 9 out of the 26 are women. 17 men. We've got names that are Jewish names. For example, Mary is a typical Jewish name. Priscilla, Aquila, that's a Jewish missionary couple which we find throughout the New Testament writing. We find them in Acts, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, in Romans 16. Then we have names that are from the Roman world, Gentile names. A mixed group of people. Look in verse 7. Andronicus, we see there. Junius, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me, they are outstanding among the apostles. We've got people who Paul would consider as apostles. We know apostles are people chosen by God, sent by God, eyewitness of the risen Jesus, like the 12 apostles. But here in Rome, we've got two people whom Paul says, I consider you as apostles. You love the Lord. You are mature in the Lord. You have authority like the apostle. I greet you. So you have people who've known God for many years. Look in verse 10. To the household, greetings belonging to Aristobulus. So when we think of the household in verse 10, we think of, well, freemen. We think of maybe servants. We think of slaves. So he's greeting to the ordinary people in this household of this maybe rich man. So can you see the diverse group of people in that church? You've got apostles, people who had the authority of God. You had probably people who just came to the faith. You had Jewish people. You had Gentile people, male, female. You had people who were probably high in stature, rich people, noble people. And you had freemen. You had servants. This list here, what do you notice? Different ranks, different race, different gender. It was a very diverse group of people in Rome. I am so convinced as your pastor that we are called to be a church that is diverse. I am so convinced that the people of God is a diverse group of people with different ranks, with different race, with different situation in life. I am so convinced that I am called to be a pastor of a church that is a multicultural church. And as I read this, God is saying, that's for you, Ben. That's for Sun Life Church. You live in a multicultural country, Australia. This has to be a multicultural church. It has to be a diverse church. Most of my pastor friends in Perth would always ask me questions like, Ben, tell me your church. Tell me a bit about Sun Life Church. And I would say, what do you mean by that? Well, tell me the people. I said, you know, we have people from different walks of life. We have people doing very well in life. We have people struggling to get by in life. We have people with children. We have people trying to fall pregnant. We have people in relationships. We have people who are single. We have people who've met the Lord and have done life with Him for the last few decades. We have people who've just come to the faith. We have Asian people. We have Caucasian people. We have colored skin people. We're a diverse group. And I'm feeling at this point in time pretty good about myself, because this is a multicultural church. And two weeks ago, one of my sons said to me, Dad, we have a lot of Vietnamese in our church. Where did you get that from? He goes, Vietnamese, ain't there all Vietnamese at Sun Life Church? All the Asians? Now, you know kids don't lie, right? And I'm justifying myself. I'm saying because, you know, Dad is an Asian pastor. He's Vietnamese Australian. And he's probably attracting a lot of Asian people. And they're probably comfortable here. And I'm trying to justify myself and convince myself maybe the Vietnamese people or whatever, they're inviting friends who are Vietnamese. Maybe they love Jesus more. I realize I'm digging myself in a deeper hole now, trying to justify myself, but it took my son to remind me that I need to be a pastor who's very intentional about welcoming people from all different walks of life, all different ranks, all different races. I want to say this to you, if you feel like you're the minority, if you feel that we don't know you personally or know you by name, I am so sorry. I really mean that, because my heart here is to be a church pastor, a leader, to have a church with so many nations, So many people from different races, different ranks, different parts of this country of ours. That's my heart. And right here, as I look here in Romans 16, I look at this wonderful church. Look at this great church here. A church where Paul would say, I greet you and I know what you're doing, and I greet people from this ranks and that and from the Gentile world and the Jewish world. I greet you all. It's such a great community, and I am praying for the day that our church will continue to be a church like that. That everyone is welcome. Everyone is part of this family. I mean, isn't it so true that we can love people who are like us? It's so easy, right? It is so easy for me to love you and to accept you and to embrace you if you look like me and you talk like me and you dress like me and you behave like me and you follow the mighty Dockers. It is so easy, right? It is so easy. But it is more loving and it's more difficult when we would embrace people who are very different to us. And that's what we're called. I don't want to be known as a pastor of a church like this. I want to be known as a pastor who belongs to a church that is diverse. God's people is diverse. That makes the church beautiful. That makes the church a reflection of who God is, that He would send His Son to die for everyone. So at Sun Life Church, what we need to do, and I'm speaking to you as your pastor, is that as we begin to bring influence in this community, we need to embrace and welcome people into our community at Sun Life Church. We're to get over there and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. How are you? Great to have you in this community. We're going to put our credential and our ranks and our bank balances aside, and we come here in even field. Because you know, when you're in Christ, you're in Christ, and there's nothing else but you're in Christ. There are no ranks, there's no divisions, there's no order or groups. We're all one. We need to welcome people. We need to embrace people, because the people of God is a diverse group of people. Amen? And I thank God, because I look down and I go, yeah, this is exciting. Because I see people who are different. People who are trying to figure out this Christianity thing. Thank you for coming. I want you to keep on coming. Because I want you to see Christ in us and through us. For those who are new to the country, welcome. Welcome to this wonderful country. We want to help you get started. We want to do life with you. This is exciting. I can't wait to do work with the community here, especially with Aramore Catholic College. I can't wait to see the youth meet the Lord and see them come here and have a great time. We have to be a diverse group. Secondly, the power of God. Look in verse 17, Romans 16:17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. You know, in this section, Paul begins to warn the Christians in Rome. Watch out for the dividers and the deceivers. Watch out if they get in the church. The warning is to watch out. The advice is to keep away. Look in verse 18. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but they are serving their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. What is Paul saying? The dividers and the deceivers, they come with their best foot forward, just like all the contestants vying for the bachelor's heart in episode 1. Isn't that right? Best foot forward. I mean, no one's going to come and say, hey, I'm here to cause division. Hey, I'm here. I'm the deceiver. I'm the divider. I'm here. No one comes like that. They're going to come smooth and they're going to say the right things and do the right things and maybe teach some new things. So Paul says, watch out. Watch out for these people. I would always say this, make sure whatever they're teaching, whatever we're listening to, is it biblical? Is it in line with the Bible? Number two, make sure, does it bring glory to God? Number three, is it good for us? If those three things are ticked, then maybe we want to listen to them. But be careful. They come. Paul says they come. They're very smooth. They'll say the right things, but they have one agenda, which is to cause division. Suss them out, he says. But I love in verse 19, he says this, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. I rejoice. What Paul is saying is, I am so glad the Christians in Rome, you're doing a good work. You know these deceivers. You know these dividers. You're sussing them out, and you are not allowing disunity to come into the church. Keep up the good work of keeping the unity. That's what we see right here. The Christians there are doing a great job. Paul says, keep up the good work. I rejoice over you. But remember, don't forget, they're coming. Or maybe they're there. Be smart. Be smart. And you might be asking, well, Ben, what has this got to do with God's power? Let me make three comments. We may have the gospel. We may have the truth of God. But if there's no unity in this church, we fall into the trap of pride. We may have unity in this church. But if we don't have the truth, if we don't have the gospel, we're powerless. But let me say, when we have the gospel truth and we have unity, we're powerful. Amen. Let me explain that. You know, we may be in a church where we preach the Bible and we know everything about the gospel. We know everything about God in saving us through His Son. We can quote the many verses of the Bible. Like, we're all good with the gospel. We know the truth. We know our Bibles very well, but if there is no love in the church, if there is no forgiveness in the church, if there's no empathy in the church, if there's no acceptance in the church, if there's no unity in the church, unfortunately, we will fall into the trap of that great problem of pride. We'll be prideful. I read that Mahatma Gandhi, when he was much younger, Gandhi read the gospel. And as he was reading the gospel, he felt that, wow, I think I found the cure to the social stratification of India. In India, Hindu, they divide people into four groups, four layers. And he felt that was wrong. And as he studied the gospel, he felt that, yes, I found the solution to break this division of my people. So he goes into a church and he asks the minister, the pastor, what must I do to become a Christian? Unfortunately, the pastor, the minister, refused him a seat and said to him, you should worship with your own people. From that day onward, Gandhi never stepped foot back in the church. And he said this, if Christians have differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu. You know, if we are so divided in the church, there's no unity, we may have the gospel truth. We may be preaching the Bible, but if there's no unity, what's left? Pride. We get nowhere. But then vice versa, what happens if we have unity? We're a church where we love one another, we care for one another, we forgive one another, we're always happy, clappy, loving our community around us, feeding the poor, helping the homeless. Such unity, such love, yeah. But there's no gospel. There's no Bible teaching. There's no truth of the power of the gospel of God. Then we're powerless. We're just a group of people coming together, speaking positive words and positive thinking with no power. I know of many Christians who've come to the faith in good churches where they've experienced the love of God, but the church does not preach the Bible. And along comes some hardships, some suffering, they give up. What does Paul say in Ephesians 4:14? The whole idea behind the church is so that they will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. We may have unity in the church. We may have love in the church. We may be doing the right thing in the church and in our community. But if we are not preaching the Bible, if we are not preaching the gospel, we are powerless. But let me say, if we have the gospel and we have unity, wow. Now that's power. That is power. The Word of God and unity of the saints, That is power. At the very beginning of this book, what would Paul say in verse 16 of chapter 1? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. I am not ashamed of that message. And I tell you right now, when there is such unity in the church, we will do something special in our community. The psalmist says in Psalms 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people, you and I, live together in unity. That is wonderful. And when that takes place, the preaching of the gospel, the truth of God's word, the wonderful unity of the saints, I believe in Ephesians 3:20. Now to God, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. He can do more according to His power that is at work within us. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for a church that is powerful, that preaches the Bible, that preaches the gospel truth, that loves one another, has such unity that would never have division in the church. Wow, there is power. And that power is for you and I to do gospel work in the city and beyond. Then finally, God's plan. He begins to conclude this section by reminding the Christians there of God's sovereign plan. God had a plan. He had a plan from the very beginning of time. Look in verse 25, Romans 16. And now to Him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel. What is Paul saying here? This is very important you understand this. At the very beginning of the book, in chapter 1, he says it is the gospel which is God's power to save. And at the very end of the book, he says it's also the gospel that it's God's power to establish. You notice that? The gospel is not only God saving us and that's it. If we think that the gospel, the good news, is only for people to meet Jesus Christ, and that's it, because I've already met Jesus Christ years ago, it's got nothing to do with me, because the gospel is the ABC to receiving Christ. If we think that is also, that's only the gospel, we missed out the gospel. The gospel is more than that. It's not only the power to save, but it's also the power to establish us to keep living the life that we ought to live. The gospel is us entering to life with God, but it's also us living out that life in God. That your life and my life need to be a display of this wonderful transformation of what God has done for us. We have to live out the gospel every day. The way we treat our family, the way we treat our children, the way we treat our employees or the people we work with, we have to live it out. That's the gospel. But then look what he says right here as we continue on. The message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. What is Paul saying right there? Here's my plan. This is God's plan. That it's now revealed. It was once hidden, but now revealed, that everyone, all Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, will come to the obedience that comes from faith. That's the plan. God's plan is that not only Jews, but also Gentiles come to faith. God wants to save everyone through His Son. That's His plan. And that's also our plan. That we're part of that mission that God has sent us. That our job is to bring the gospel to everyone and see people saved and see people to come into our community. Notice at the very end of the letter, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God, always. What's our mission at Sun Life Church? Bring glory to God. Make disciples through the gospel. If we begin to preach the gospel, see people saved, which is part of God's plan and also our mission, as people's lives are transformed by the gospel, they bring glory to God. To the only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen. We are on mission, Sun Life Church. You and I. We're not just doing church on Sunday. We're on missions. We're missionaries. Don't think the YWAM is a missionary. You and I, we are on mission to bring the gospel to as many people as possible so that they would meet Jesus Christ, their lives be transformed, and glory to God the Father. We are on mission. If you are calling Sun Life Church home and you don't realize that you're on mission, I need to remind you. I need you. I cannot do this work by myself. My wife and I cannot do this. We need each other to work in unity because we're on mission. Until the day the Lord takes us home or He returns. I'm going to ask Thurn and Tao to come up here for 1 second. I'm going to give you something. You guys didn't know this. Come here quick. If I gave you one of these each. Okay. What's the first thing you think of? You know, you're not going to fight each other. You know. What could you, come on, tell me, what are you thinking of when you're given these oars? What are you doing?
Paddling.
Paddling, is that right? So your natural reaction is to grab the oars and paddle. Now, if we're in the rowing team, and you're not paddling, but you're paddling, what happens? We're going nowhere. If both you guys are paddling, we're in trouble. We all have to do what? Paddle. Give them a round of applause. Thank you, guys. That's it. You can take that down. Take it down. We are on mission here, Sun Life Church. Listen carefully. We are on mission. I feel like changing this church name from Sun Life Church to Sun Life Rowing Team. Because if we're on the rowing team, you and me, we're on this boat, and we all have our oars, and we need to grab our oars and start rowing. We're in this together. If we want to bring glory to God, part of God's plan is to see so many people saved, we need to pick up our oars and start rowing. Can I say that there are some of you in this church here, you wear so many hats that I thank God for you. 4 or 5 hats, I know, some leaders here. I thank God for you. You love God. You love His people. You love His church. You're doing a wonderful work. And I thank you. I know some of you, you've picked your oars and you're serving Sun Life Kids. Thank you. Some of you, you've picked up your oars and you're serving on the welcome team. You're serving as a connect group leader. You're serving on the music team. You're serving as the design team. You're serving on the coffee team, the logistics team, administration. You're picking up your oars and you're serving the alpha team. You're serving with the youth team. There are so many teams. In fact, we've even got Busy Bee after this. That's the plug. If you're doing nothing, 1 o'clock, I need you. Pick up your oar. Pick up your brushes. I thank God so much for you because you're picking up your oar and you're rowing with me. And I thank God for you. And I need more people to pick up the oars and row with me. Because we're on mission. The mission is part of God's plan. That everyone would come into faith and obedience. So that the glory belongs to God always. I pray that you and I would be part of God's mission here at Sun Life Church. That you would not just come here and just go, what is there for me? I like the kids' program. I like the fact that they're preaching this. I like the place because it's so close to home. I get that. But I need you. I need you to hear from me as your pastor that God has given us this building here not for us to enjoy. We're on mission, every single one of us. That we're on this rowing boat and we're rowing together because as we serve together in unity with the power of the gospel, as we do that, oh wow. It's going to be an exciting place. I look here today and I go, well, God, you're up to something wonderful and I can't wait to see what it will be like in 2 years' time, 5 years' time. It excites me, God. But I know that I can't do this alone with a few leaders who are wearing many hats, rowing many parts in this church here. I need us all to grab up our oars and row with me. We are on mission, Sun Life Church. Time is running out. Life is short. Eternity is waiting for us. We want to see our Creator and say, God, I'm being faithful. I've done what you wanted me to do. You've given me these giftings and I've used it for your glory. And I saw people come to the faith. That's the plan of God. For you and for me as well. To get out there, to reach our community. So if you are here for the first time and you're hearing this, I want you to be part of the team. I want you to let me know how I could help you be part of the team. Because there's no probation here at Sun Life Church. There's no probation here. If you're in Christ, then I want you. Because we're serving together. Amen. So as we conclude here, we see Paul reminding the Christians, the people of God, a diverse group of people. The power of God, where we preach the gospel and have unity. Watch out for this unity. Let's never have that take place in our church. And finally, the plan of God. That many will come to know Him through the ministry here at Sun Life Church. Will you pick up your oar and row with me? Let me pray.